Good morning. I'm Pastor Steve Nelson, and super excited to be up here today. I've got about 3.5 hours worth of built-up scripture for you all today, and we're going to get through all of it. No, really, if you see my Bible, it's got all these red marks, and these are all scriptures we're going to look at today. So we got a lot of things to do, that's for sure. Talking about kings, and I heard a story about a Sunday school class that had a teacher that was talking about kings in the Bible and said how magnificent all these kings and queens were. But they said there was one that was greater than these, though, wasn't there? And a little boy piped up and said, "Yeah, I think it's the Aces." Very bad joke. Unless you're playing Pepper, then it'd be the Jacks, Kings, Queens. All right. I pulled that off really bad. I told my wife I have all this stuff I want to share about our about sabbatical, about what's been going on, but felt like today there's just so much scripture I want to get through, and said it's just not going to be very funny, entertaining, but that's not where we're going today. There's this scripture that we're going to look at, starting at 2 Samuel chapter 7, if you want to go there. Is very, very significant. And so much so that I'm going to spend probably a good chunk of this just laying out how significant this passage is. 2 Samuel chapter 7. God's making a promise to David about his kingdom, about his lineage. And if you brought Bibles, that is great. It's going to be more of a Bible study today than maybe we have some Sundays. But we're going to dive through there. Hopefully a lot of these scriptures are going to be up there. You might need to take notes if you want to look through it more. And even some of these, I've just simplified some of the scriptures. But this passage, I think, is so significant as we look at who Jesus is, who the Savior of the world is, that we're going to spend a bunch of time here. So, first thing is God's kingdom, Jesus' kingdom is forever. So we're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. If you look in here, there is so much in here. I'm going to start at verse 13, if you want to go straight there. It says, "He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And so we're talking about David, and then there's actually a section in here in verse 14 that maybe is a little confusing, because it talks about how I will punish him with the rod of men. We're talking about Solomon just a little bit, and then it comes back to this this throne. And so, yes, Solomon is punished in some way by God during this. But the key thing that I want you to see in this passage, and I circled this in my Bible 8 times, starting from verse 13 all the way through verse 26, the word forever is used. The word forever, as we're talking about the kingdom, the throne, that David's lineage will have. Verse 13, "He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Verse 16, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." And then David's responding, saying, "You've established your people, Israel, as your very own forever. And you, Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever." Verse 29, "Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever." Important word. And that's why, you know, we can look at the Old Testament and say, wow, those are some really neat stories. that we hear. But when you link it together into the New Testament, into Revelation, we see that forever kind of matters. Because forever includes us and includes where we're going to spend eternity forever. So, we got a lot to look at. I got to remember if my tabs are on the bottom or the top. We're going to start there. Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to look at a whole bunch of prophecy. If you want to turn there, otherwise some of these scriptures, like I said, will be up on the screen. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. Some of these are very familiar, and some of them maybe not so much. But all of Isaiah 9 is great. But verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." See, David's son will build a throne. And you can look, there's a really neat passage that explains how that is all put to God. And literally, as the kings sat on the throne, they were sitting on God's throne. The temple, this is throne, this is God. Rather than just being in an ark, he's got this permanent place now in a temple. So there's significance to the throne. And someday there will be somebody that is greater, that will reign on the throne. So I love a lot of these passages because it shows what that king is going to look like, that promised king forever. What he will look like. All right, move ahead. Isaiah chapter 11, another great chapter to look at. Verse 1, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse," Jesse's son, David. "From his roots a branch will bear fruit." And there are so many things in here that describe what the shoot is going to look like. And again, I encourage you to dive into that. Let's keep going. Very next book, Jeremiah. Chapter 23. Verse 5. This is really easy for me because I marked them all so I can get there quick. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land." Gonna keep moving. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 24 says, "My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever, and David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy. My sanctuary is among them forever." We're just going to keep going. Hosea chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. "For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without or sacrifice or sacrificed stones, with ephod or idol. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king." Amos, chapter 9, In that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruin, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as the mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. All right, that's a whole bunch of Old Testament, whole bunch of Old Testament prophecy, and the reason why I bring that to you is because this scripture matters. David's kingdom matters. And as we look at who this king is going to be, and we look at what was happening, and how Solomon becomes king, and then the kingdoms end up becoming divided, the Babylonian exile, and then they return, and Nehemiah rebuilds the temple, and then there's this huge waiting period where God isn't really speaking, and there's 400 years, and can you imagine what you needed as a hope? You were waiting for this kingdom to be established. And of course, when we think of that kingdom, when they thought about that kingdom, they thought it was going to be this earthly kingdom that would be established forever. But that's not who Jesus was, right? So, we get to the New Testament. And I bring this up because it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Matthew chapter 1. It's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, it starts right off. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And as you go through that passage, it shows all the people that were in the line starting in Abraham and the promise of the seed and that all people would be blessed through Abraham, all the way to David, all the way to Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. All like God said it was going to be years ago. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and through 33. This got read. I was in Matthew, that's why that didn't make sense. Verse 27 says, Joseph, a descendant of David. It says, a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And it talks about the story of Mary being told, which there's a whole lot there. But it is the prophecy being answered just like they said it would happen. Okay, we're going to keep moving. I don't want to dive into all these, but it is the fulfillment of 2 Samuel chapter 7 covenant. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2 real quick. And again, I want to keep on showing you how this is significant, not just for the Jewish people, not just for those right there, but it is for us forever. So Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. And during that huge speech, verse 29 says, brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ and that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my God, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, if you're one of those people there, you've heard all these prophecies. You know that somebody is supposed to come in the line of David. And then you know that you are one of those ones that was yelling, crucify him. You're one of those that rejected him as king. You're one of those that know that you had a big part in him being crucified. And so they were cut to the heart. Verse 41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is a huge event in the start of the Christian church. Then as we get to Acts chapter 15, it's the Jerusalem Council, and it really just addresses how Gentiles, you and me, those who are not part of, we're not Israelites, how we're included in this as well. Verse 15, and there's a lot in this passage as well. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles, all the nations who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Actually quoting that passage in Amos that I read. A lot of stuff here. I know I just read this. It was a Bible study, right? There's significance to all of that. And we can't grasp this, can't grasp the significance of David and his lineage and then moving to us. We miss a whole chunk of what God has for us, this grace that he's given us. So I'm going to go finally to Revelation chapter 5. And then we're going to talk just a little bit. Revelation chapter 5. So now we're talking what's going to come in the future. Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. The one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And it goes on. How amazing is it that we have words written several hundred years before Jesus came, all fulfilled through this man that came down to earth, the Son of God, who lived as a man and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for our sins. We serve an amazing God, and he is on the throne forever. And that is the God that we get to worship. So, if you like that technical stuff, you got it. Now, a few other things that I want to point out, and maybe I say this as I take time away on sabbatical as things happen to people here. Things happen to me in my life. Things happen over the weekend that you're just, you don't even know what to do with it. We're all going to worship something. We're all going to worship someone or something. And I'm going to tell you that it needs to be Jesus. He is the good shepherd. I love the theme of a shepherd. Starting with looking at David, who came out of being a shepherd into being a king. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the example to follow and the one that comes for our needs like only a good shepherd can. A couple more passages to look at. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And I think this hits home a little bit of how we all put something as king or an idol, and some of us can whine and complain about president or politics or what's going on in the world, and we want to put them in this place that only Jesus really belongs. Deuteronomy chapter 17 talks its commands about how to deal with kings. I don't have it up here. I want to read it because I think it's fascinating for God already knowing how we will respond to kings, those in leadership. He says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, and have taken possession of it and settle in it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the nations around us, be sure to appoint over you the king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your own brothers. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not a brother Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself, or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. I love that part. He's supposed to write a copy of the law, taken from that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with them, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. See, as we look at any of the kings, or David, or anybody that we see in leadership, aren't those great qualities that we would want for them? But the fact is, every one of them fail. I look at David, and he's been given this promise in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and the next couple chapters show some of the victories and the way that God blessed him. And then we get to 2 Samuel chapter 11, and there's a story of David and Bathsheba and the affair that takes place and the cover-up. And then I can go to David's son, Solomon, and how many wives and concubines did he have? And how much did he pursue those things and gold and riches? I don't know who you are putting in your life as king or queen or just an idol. But if you are not putting Jesus at the center, as the primary focus, you are missing the boat. And you are leading yourself down a path of destruction. John 10:11-15, a lot of you know Psalm 23. Read through it again. As the Lord is our shepherd. But John 10:11-15. Somewhere in here. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I don't know how you came today, but Jesus wants to be your shepherd. He wants to care for your needs. He wants to make sure you don't jump the fence. He wants to make sure that you are finding rest. And Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. So run to the perfect shepherd. And the last thing I'll share is Luke chapter 2:8-11. Because most importantly, more than being this great shepherd that lays down his life for us, he is Savior of the world. Jesus has overcome death. He has defeated Satan. He has risen. He is the sacrificial lamb for us. I love the story of the shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." So today, this Christmas season, may this be the King that you worship. As we sing these songs, as we worship Him, may we worship the promised King, the Good Shepherd, the one that is Savior of the world, not just for a small group of people, but for all the world, forever. Let me pray. Lord God, You are so good and faithful. God, sometimes in the Christmas story, we just love this little picture of this newborn baby and the manger scene because it's neat and pretty. But we forget the significance. God, You are Savior of the world. We want to worship You. We want to praise You. God, as we go forward today, may this not be something that just may it not just be words, may not just be head knowledge, but may it be something that penetrates our heart, that we can love You more fully, that we can fall in love with You more each and every day, and that we can worship You as our King. as our leader, as our shepherd, as our Savior. Lead us as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. And would you all stand with me as we close in a song?